Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hello and welcome to Talking Yanks, Sharp Stats, time to get smart about the way you watch the Yankees. My name's Jimmy. Jake is here as always, and we are joined by Katie Sharp, the queen of stats. We got to drop some knowledge on everyone, and when I say we, I mean Katie, Jake, and I are dumb folk. Katie, how you doing?
I am doing great, guys. I mean, it's amazing what a six-game win streak can do for your psyche here. In Yankee land. So I think the last time we talked, it was not such a happy time.
Oh, sorry. No, wasn't. And we were saying, you know, I can't wait till we can get two good topics on the show. We were scrapping for one good topic on the show. Now it's easy. It's a lot of good things going on.
Yeah. And then the ideas are just crazy flowing from my brain now.
Yeah, we had too many. It was hard to narrow it down. So we're kind of we got a pitching segment, a hitting segment, and one kind of player zoom. But I'm excited, and yeah, like I think we said last time, we wanted three positives. We're kind of there, but we also got the news that the MLB is changing their playoff format this year, which is. I don't know. It's kind of wild to think about. We did a thing on Talking Baseball about it where we kind of reacted live, and it's a weird amount of emotions. The coaches and GMs just found out. The players just found out. You wonder what the trade deadline would have looked like if teams knew this. I know Jimmy had a really good point. Like, I think Lance Lynn gets traded for sure if teams knew that they were going to be playing every day of a five-game series. So, and I think it was also... kind of the underlying thing of the Yankees getting going is they had a couple big offensive outputs, but the pitching was lights out. Has the bullpen, did Mike King end the bullpen streak last night? Is he the first one?
I think that was correct. Because it had not happened before last night, before Tuesday, as we're taping this on Wednesday. So, I know, and if go figure in a 20-3-4 game, whatever, that's when it happens. I mean, that's always when it happens. But yeah, the bullpen, the starting pitching have both been just synced up and lights out recently, which is boding well for the Yankees. If you're gonna get hot, September is definitely the time to do it, you know.
Let's do it. Let's get that top four spot. That'd be pretty nice. And you know what? I've already talked myself out of the bullpen thing because I don't need Otto coming in and him worrying about the streak. So that's King did a good thing. So that's good.
Yes, yes.
It was nice, man. Good. Yeah, we wanted to talk about how the Yankees' depth is now being tested. We thought we were going to have to do a whole deep dive on who's the three starter, Davey, Hap, Monty, and if Davey's the three starter, what role does Hap and Monty play on this squad in the postseason? Well, now, in the ALDS, you're going to need four starters because they play five games in a row. So how do the Yankees look depth wise? How much of a difference is this? Like, where did your brain go with this new wrinkle, Katie?
Yeah, well, there was definitely a couple thoughts that I had, and it starts with the starters. I think that's the most obvious place where you're going to start with this new playoff structure, and that because there is no off days, you literally unless you're going to pitch your top guy on short rest on 3 days rest, you are going to need four starters, or unless you can sweep and three games in the DS. But you are going to need one through four starters to manage that. And then obviously in the LCS, even there's no off days. I think that's, if the Yankees are able to make it there, that's going to be an incredibly tough situation. But what the Yankees have done with this past week has really been encouraging. And I think that's helped the situation for the team a lot. I mean, it's amazing how much a week can change the stats in this shortened season. So right now, I mean, if you just want to look at what the Yankee starters have done in this last six games, this is during their six-game winning streak as we tape this on Wednesday. It's pretty remarkable. It's a 1.72 ERA. It's 40 strikeouts and four walks in 36 and two-thirds innings. And that's pretty crazy. Four walks in 36 and two-thirds inning, I think, might be the most impressive statistic during this six-game win streak. And the fact that there is that 36 innings pitched when it includes two doubleheaders, so two of those shortened games. So not only is this the starters, obviously preventing runs and not allowing base runners, but they are giving them length. And I think that brings me also to my second important point. You don't need just quality starters, 1 through 4. You need quality starters that can also give you length, because that reduces the strain on the relievers, which are already going to be strained with the lack of off days. So just a couple things that I just kind of wanted to get into to compare the Yankees and how they stack up to, the rest of the teams. And actually, for the starting pitching, it is looking really good right now. So what I did is I used ERA Plus, which is adjusted ERA. So it adjusts for the league and the ballpark. And average is 100, and anything above a 100 in this statistic is better than average, and it goes by percentage. So like a 110 is 10% better than league average. So I kind of wanted to look at how many teams have starters that have a 110 ERA Plus or better. So not just league average, but a little bit better than league average. And I put a minimum of, I think, 3 starts, because I think, that obviously is, cooked a little bit for Davey. But he looks like it's going to be a part of our rotation going forward. So
Katie, do not apologize. Sorry. For cutting up the stats to get Davey in there. Thank you.
Yes, we're cutting up the stats a little bit. But so the Yankees actually have now 4 starters with a 110 ERA plus or better. Pretty remarkable when you were looking at this situation a couple weeks ago. And they're only 1 of 5 teams in the majors to have that. So the Dodgers, the White Sox, the Marlins, and the Indians, obviously, are the other 4 teams. The Indians have 5 starters like that. So the Yankees actually stack up really well in terms of starting pitching depth, quality starting pitching depth, 1 through 4, to navigate through this new postseason format.
So that's pretty wild, because I mean we get so locked into the Cole and Tanaka. Obviously, Cole's the new shiny piece, and Tanaka with his playoff reputation. We get to add Davey, which, Davey mania, I'm ready to go on it. I hope it becomes a thing, because that'd be a nice little part to the DVD. And Jay Happ works himself in that conversation, which I think would shock a lot of Yankee fans. And let's be honest, Yankee fans are never going to be comfortable with Jay Happ, but as a fourth starter compared to other fourth starters around the league, what Jay Happ's doing this year is okay. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I mean, he has a 110 plus ERA right now. He's a sub-4. If you want to just do the raw numbers, it's a sub-4 ERA. And I don't know. I don't remember the exact statistics of his last. I think it's five or six starts, but it's in the twos. It's in the 2.5s, I think, his ERA. And the thing that is really impressive for him that we know is that he's limiting those walks, and he's somehow limiting those home runs. And those are the two key things. I mean, I haven't done a deep dive into what he's doing different. It's kind of a small sample, so it's hard to really pin down some solid conclusions there, but he's getting the job done. And if it was just that kind of kick in the ass from Cashman being like, pitch better, I mean, I want to kind of look at his game logs and see if that was the turnaround. But you know, I'll take it, man. This is, he's a veteran, you know, I think that he was kind of the guy that was going to respond to that well, if there was any type of person, you know? Mm-hmm. So we can thank Jay Happ, or maybe we can even thank Brian Cashman for this turnaround.
does your three game includer clause put Johnny Lasagna as a starter for us?
I believe it does not, because I know he has started three games, but I did a requirement so that they had to be like every game that they pitched in this season was a start. So I eliminated like the opener guys, you know what I mean?
Okay. And David's had four starts now anyway. So
yeah, he's had four starts. So I kind of wanted to do a little bit of a looser definition there. But yeah, because I didn't want to have a lot of those opener people. I mean, I don't even know how much openers are being used around MLB this season. I haven't really been keeping track. But I didn't want to include that because that can kind of skew the stats. But yeah, so starters, in terms of their performance, they stack up really well, the Yankees 1-4. The other thing I mentioned with starters was length. And obviously during this win streak, the innings pitched has been up. But for the season, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but the Yankees are basically league average in terms of innings pitched per start. And it's amazing that league average is 4.8 innings pitched per start.
But that's the average start.
And that's skewed. Yeah, that's skewed with the doubleheaders, obviously. So it's tough to really suss out that. I don't think any site has done that. The rain shortened games, you know, we've had. So there are some kind of like, yeah.
Everyone goes five and fly the first couple times of the rotation, especially with all the pitching injuries. So
that's true.
I don't think.
But I mean, like there are teams like the Indians, I think, are at the top and they're at 5.9. So there are some teams getting an outlier, right? But they're definitely an outlier. But so I think that my concern, I'm not as concerned about that because I know that the trend has been going up and that the starters have been giving them more length. And especially kind of what they've been seeing, I think Boone will kind of give him a little bit of a longer leash. We'll see how it goes, you know, down the stretch. But that's also something that I looked at with this new postseason format. And the other idea, obviously, that I mentioned was with the relievers, and that you really, not only do you have to have starters 1-4, but you really got to have depth in your bullpen as well, because we saw that. We saw it in the ALCS last year when, I mean, it was clear that our bullpen was gassed because they were forced to pitch so many innings, and not necessarily on consecutive days. I mean, Boone doesn't do that. He doesn't think this was the first time, you know, in a year when somebody actually pitched 3 days in a row. Chad Green did it a couple weeks ago. But just the sheer number of innings they had to pitch. So the more, you know, high leverage quality relievers you can have in your bullpen – obviously is going to help a lot with this postseason format. And this is the place where the Yankees...
I may, I mean, just connecting to the relievers where you're going, I mean, you know, Jay Happ, who emptied the tank two starts ago against Toronto, went 113 pitches. Like, there can be a performance like that in the postseason that could save a bullpen or really reset you, you know, if the Yankees are lucky enough to play in a seven-game series or even a five-game series... where, you know, there may be sexier pitchers on other teams than Jay Happ for their fourth starter, but A, he has been good recently, yeah. And B, if he could, you know, there's going to be some kid pitchers that don't get trusted on pitch 113, you know? So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I obviously was trying to keep the Happ train together with some gum and sticks. It's kind of come together, and, you know, he's a bad playoff start again from being hated immediately. But I don't know. Something like that is probably going to be important this postseason.
Yeah, the fact that the Yankees do have sort of, I would say, veteran, you know, a couple veteran guys in that rotation where Boone is not afraid to just let them throw all their bullets and stretch that arm out. Even if it is to just give the reliever, even if it's in a loss and it's just to give the relievers kind of a little bit of a rest. So getting back to where the Yankees stack up, this is where I'm not as confident that the Yankees are in such a good position. So what I did is I sort of did same qualifications. I looked at teams that had relief pitchers. And this is, I think I did like a, 90% of their innings pitched in relief, with at least 10 innings pitched for the season, had an ERA plus of 110 or better. So again, like an above average reliever. And the Yankees, they have only five of those, which sounds good. It sounds like a lot, but that's actually middle of the pack. I think it was about 15th or 16th in the league. There are a lot of teams with just a lot of teams with 6, 7, 8, even 9 types of these guys. And I think that, there is one positive note maybe is that the Yankees do have several that are like 150 ERA plus or better. So they do have a couple really high qualities. It's just the depth. It's the ones that can give you an above average performance. Maybe not an elite performance, but an above average performance, that bridge to get to the elite guys. That's where I think the Yankees are really lacking now. And it's really where they miss the Adam Ottavino. And they miss even like a Chapman, whose numbers are not great this year. He obviously doesn't qualify with the 10 innings pitched. He hasn't even reached that yet. But they miss the Tommy Cainley. It's just, they need a guy like Mike King to pitch better, just pitch better. So that's, it's amazing to say, because we always thought that, the strength of this Yankee pitching staff was going to be their relievers. But I think that, a lot of the injuries and the underperformance this year has really stretched them in terms of that this year.
Yeah, I think that the new playoff thing that has us concerned about the depth of the starting pitching, I think the Yankees are better equipped to handle the new format on the starting pitching front than they are on the bullpen front easily. I think as Yankee fans, we should be much more worried about what this is going to do to the bullpen. Last year, Zach Britton in the ALDS, he pitched games 1 and 3. That's 2 games out of 3. They swept him. It was an off day. Not that bad. In the ALCS, he pitched in games 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. He pitched in every game besides game 4. And that was with off days. And he was noticeably gassed. And now we don't have Tommy Cainley. We don't have Adam Ottavino. Like, what did he pitch last year? Let me pull it up. So we are going to need, like you said, a Mike King, a Lasagna, to step up and really eat innings here, because without the off days, we only have 3 upper guys: Chad, Britton, Chapman. Now, Jonathan Holder has been doing some fun stuff, and you have some stats on Holder for us. Is he going to be a necessary piece with this new layout?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the numbers, he has been the best reliever on this team by far. And it's not just because he's pitched a couple innings. And it's not just in terms of, even recently that he's been pitching in just low leverage spots. So there's a lot of things that really stand out to me. And we obviously know how horrible his season was last year. It was like, a 6.93 ERA, or something like that.
My Twitter DMs definitely knew how bad Jonathan Holder's season was last year.
That's good. But this year, I mean, it's been phenomenal. It's just, I mean, he has a 2.11 ERA plus, which means twice as good as the league average, more than twice as good as the league average in terms of his ERA. And a couple other stats that really stand out to me. He's only had 1 inherited runner scored. So he's inherited 8 runners and only 1. And that was the first game he pitched this season. That was Bleck on July 25th against the Nationals in that first series. The only inherited runner that he's allowed to score. He hasn't allowed more than 2 hits in an outing, which is pretty remarkable. If you kind of imagine the Jonathan Holder of last year, it was just, he just couldn't stop it. It was kind of just like the spigot, and it just kept going. And then the other thing that's really stood out to me is on Fangraphs, they have a stat called Meltdown, which is basically, it's based on win probability and the win probability change in win probability from when he enters the game to when he exits. And win probability, it's, you know, obviously a really easy concept. It's based on the runners on base, the score of the game, so things like that. And a meltdown, I think, is a negative change in win probability of about 6 percentage points during the appearance. So it's a true meltdown. It's basically, you know, you're giving your team a chance to lose, essentially. He had 13 of those last year in 41 innings pitched, and he has 0 this year. So it kind of bears out. You haven't really had that oh crap moment with Jonathan Holder. I mean, he has given up runs in a couple outings, obviously, but you haven't. He hasn't really had that blow up, and I like to think that it's actually real. You know, kind of when you look at whether is this fake, is this real, is this just a small sample? Obviously, it is a small sample. I'm not going to deny that. It's 17 innings pitched, but if you look at what his expected stats are, and we know that from StatCast, based on what his actual stats are, and they match up. They're really close in terms of just expected slugging, expected WOBA, and that StatCast actually has an expected ERA stat, which they use kind of their exit velocity, launch angle, plus strikes and walkouts and everything to get an ERA number. So he ranks in the top 8% of the league in all of those metrics. So he is literally one of the most elite relievers in the entire majors this year, in terms of his ability to limit hard contact and just limit runs. And the what really stands out to me, and this is kind of, I think, what has been his bread and butter this year, is that he has allowed one barrel in 53 kind of batted ball events, you know, balls in play. One barrel. And we know barrel is kind of like the best type of contact that a hitter can make. It usually either goes for like an extra base hit or a home run. So one barrel he allowed. Last year, he allowed 10 or 12 of those for the entire season. His exit velocity is down. The launch angle is down for him. And he's allowing, you know, more weak contact. And the big thing that's jumps out to me is his ground ball rate has jumped from 39% to 47%. And his fly ball rate is now down to 19% from 28% last year. So he's doing the job. He's basically, yeah, you don't really see that. Like with pitchers, you're right. Fly balls, ground balls, those types of things are pretty constant for a pitcher season to season. So his ability to increase his ground ball rate by almost 10 percentage points, that's a big thing. And I think that's what's helped him. I think that's been the biggest change for him in terms of the results that he's gotten.
Yeah, those are really big changes. I'd much rather a ground ball than a fly ball. Especially with
Gino. Yeah, and that was especially. And that's kind of the thing that was with Holder last year, was he would just give up these devastating home runs and these extra base hits to the wall. I mean, you almost see it. You can kind of imagine it, at least for me. So I think that has been one of the most important things that he's doing this year. And it matches up. Like, the expected stats match up. He's limiting hard contact. He's getting, a lower launch angle. It's not in that line drive, fly ball range anymore. So what I think probably one of the biggest changes that he's made so far this season is the increase in his changeup. And this is interesting because not only has the changeup been able to get more grounders, it's up to 59% of all the batted balls on his changeup have been grounders, compared to 52% last year. He's also getting more whiffs with it. So his whiff rate on the pitch has increased from 21% to 32% this year, which is actually very good because it's not often that a pitcher is able, especially with a changeup, where they're able to get not only more grounders, but more whiffs. There's usually some sort of trade-off between that. And what he's done, it's really been just a matter of location. He's had much fewer changeups, hanging changeups in the middle of the zone, and he's increased the number of changeups, the percentage of changeups that he's thrown in the lower half of the zone from 60 to 68%. So, you know, you put him down there, people are either going to, you know, get him to chase out of the zone and whiff, or they just hit it into the ground. And so that changeup has been really effective for him. And it has to have improved his fastball, because his fastball has really improved as well in terms of the results. The whiff rate is about the same, but the batting average against, the slugging percentage against, it's all way down from last year. So his ability to pair those two pitches and to really focus on those two pitches, it's over, I think over 75% of his pitches have been fastballs or changeups. And I think, you know, that's the best combination. Use your changeup to offset your fastball. And as a reliever, you kind of only need those two pitches, especially with changeup that can neutralize the opposite hand batters. So I see that's been really the key to him, not only, you know, getting more ground balls, as we mentioned before, but also limiting that weak contact because he's able to kind of have that mirroring effect with his fastball and his changeup.
So this has been kind of a million-dollar question around here for the past couple years, but is the changeup Jonathan Holder's best pitch? Is that if it's a 1-2 count, should we be rooting changeup, or what should we as fans be rooting for?
I think changeup right now. I mean, it's always been that slider, but I think the slider he just seems more confident in the changeup right now as a put away pitch. Because he knows he can get that ground ball with it as well. He can get the whiff. I think with the slider, I think the location matters a little bit more because he seems to hang the sliders a little bit more than he would. So I think that the changeup actually could become his sort of put away bread and butter pitch. I think in terms of results, if you just kind of look at, like, it's just a smaller sample this year, really. That's the thing. Last year, he had a much larger sample of sliders. It was his best pitch last year. But this year, the sample is so small, the results are good, but I really would not want to say that it's his best pitch because he has been going to the changeup so much more often, and it has that ability to get ground balls and whiffs at a much better than league average rate.
Well, we're really going to need him to be part of the postseason bullpen, which he's never been part of, was it his 3 years with the Yankees. I told you how often Britton pitched last year. Last year, Ottavino pitched in game 1, 2, and 3 of the ALDS. In the ALCS, he pitched in games 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. Tommy Canley pitched in games 1, 2, and 3 of the ALDS, all three. In the ALCS, he pitched in games 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And now we have no off days. Chad Green pitching 2, 3, 4, 6. I mean, we just have no off days now. So you're going to need Lasagna. You're going to need Cole, Tanaka, and Davey to get through the sixth inning. I mean, you can't have Paxton go out there and only go 2 1/3.
The depth of the relievers is really going to be tested. I mean, it would be such a nice surprise if a Mike King or a Nick Nelson and just could just be good for like 6 games in a row or something. I don't even know. They just need to be good for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Come on, guys.
I wonder if there's another Hail Mary for Clark coming. I know that might be out there, but I mean, they called up their number one prospect and started the service time on him, and then he didn't kind of get a full shot. That'll be interesting to see. The kind of guy that's been missing in this is Monty. Like, Monty might be needed for some innings out of the bullpen this year. That'll be interesting. But, yeah, I think there's kind of that second tier of bullpen. Lasagna, Johnny Holder. I mean, those guys are going to be an important part of that playoffs, and that As a fan, yes, Luis Sessa. That should make you a little nervous because those aren't the guys in a normal playoff year we're relying on. I guess my only counter to that is, hey, Holder, Sessa, and Lasagna have been pretty good this year. And the opponents are going to be looking at their Holder, Sessa's, Lasagna's because they're going to need them too this playoff. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, those guys' performance are really going to matter this year when in the past, you know, you try to burn out Zach Britton, Kane, Leonardo. God, and now I think the other biggest thing in my head is we got to get Otto going a little bit. Like, even if it's just a couple righties here and there, like, Otto has to be involved this postseason. We can't, Jimmy, you've referenced it a couple times. We basically benched Dellen a few years ago. This year, you can't afford that.
Uh-oh. Gotta get him going. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Otto is one of those guys. He's not in that, you know, 110 plus ERA group, obviously, this year. But if he could be, that just gives the Yankees another weapon. But it's clear that Jonathan Holder has stepped into, I think, at least that third or fourth role guy on the bullpen pecking order. If you look at the way that he's been used, in his first 9 appearances, he entered in 0 high leverage situations. So 0 of those 9 appearances was a high leverage appearance. 5 of his last 6 appearances have been high leverage now. So he has clearly, it's about the past month since the end of August, he has been that fireman role. If you look at sort of the way that Boone has been using him. So it'll be interesting to see. He's handled it so far very well. And obviously you haven't seen any blowups there yet. But it'll be interesting to see how that works going forward.
As one of the Jonathan Holder leaders from the Yankees universe, you can be excited, you can be scared. All of those emotions are very right.
Excited. I don't know if it's right.
I'd say be excited for what he's done this year, and hopefully that can continue to translate, and then feel the other emotions a little bit. Man. It's going to be such a wild postseason this year. Oh, my God. Yeah. Imagine, someone said this the other day on Twitter, imagine if there's like a 14-inning game.
Oh, jeez. And then you got to play the next, yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be bad. Well, let's leave this episode as just a all pitching talk conversation and the new rules going. I know we have some stuff about lineup depth with Judge coming back and Stan, but let's push that for next week. Hopefully these guys stay healthy and we can continue talking about it, because I think we covered a lot there, and it's all great stuff, and it's all pertinent to the news that just got dropped on everyone. There will be no off days, and everything's different in the postseason.
That's insane. It's insane. Final question, Katie, because I think we're keeping it pitching, and we do have to get going. Fielding and independent pitching, FIP. I'm sure some people are familiar with that. It's supposed to be a better, pure gauge of what the pitcher can actually do. Monty still grades out decently better than Hap in that category. I mean, and we didn't say Monty till right at the end there. I mean, is there a world where Monty should be the 4 starter? I feel like the analytics community is probably barking for that.
Yes, there is some sort of world. But I think, you know, one good thing that FIP is good for predicting future performance, because as most people know, it just focuses on strikes, walkouts, and home runs. Doesn't look at anything else. It's those things that the pitchers can control. And yes, I mean, Monty, we know he's increased his strikeout rate this year. He doesn't walk a lot of batters. He gives up a couple home runs, but the thing that I'm not as optimistic with Monty in terms of his FIP is that it is just such a short season. It is a small sample. It's hard to expect his ERA to kind of normalize with his FIP in the next 2 weeks. If we were looking at sort of the longer term, yes, absolutely, because that home run rate, you know, it will probably regress for Monty. I mean for Hap. At some point, he's going to start giving up home runs again. You just hope it doesn't happen within the next 3 weeks. Hap doesn't strike out a ton of batters. That's kind of the thing that really hampers him in terms of FIP. But yeah, I mean, you can certainly be optimistic about about Jordan Montgomery if you want. It's just, I was kind of focusing a little bit more on the results that these pitchers have done just because it is such a small sample. But absolutely, you know, there's always a chance that Jordan Montgomery can turn it around and get better results for sure.
How about it?
I'm very confused on Monty and Gumby. Monty and Hap.
Oh, sorry. You know, we have too many nicknames for him.
No. I'm just confused that where they. I think Hap will be the fourth starter, but I don't think Monty translates to the pen whatsoever unless Hap or Davey get knocked out before the third inning.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really have, like, you know, the stuff like we like to say.
No, he doesn't have that. Yeah,
reliever stuff, which is why he's a starter.
Take that fastball up, to get that curveball.
Curveball down.
Get that curveball snapping. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us as always, Katie, and making us a little bit smarter. We appreciate that. Any last thing, Jake? I miss anything?
I think we had a whole lineup thing planned, but I think we dove so deep in the pitching that we might have to save that for next week. So, Katie, we thank you.
Yeah.
And well, hey, let's keep all the winning going for next week so we can also talk about that some more.
Yeah, positive stats. We'll have a couple more positive segments. Should be good.
Positive sharp stats. Thank you, KT. Tweet at KT Sharp, the queen of stats. Let's go Yanks, Jim.
Go Yanks.
Do it.
Go Yankees.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.